Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas of the dying person and guarding the deceased. This is Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalet, 194 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We're going to look at three topics. One is the goyses, that's a person towards end of life. Death and behavior near the person who has passed away. So we're going to start off with a goyses. What is a goyses precisely? The Gemara talks about this condition in numerous places. So a goyses is a person at the very end of their life, they're in the process of active dying. So we're not talking about a person who's got a terminal illness and has got low prospects. We're talking about a person who actually is in the process of dying. This could be even up to 3 days before death. This is the stage when the doctor would say that this person is actively dying. They would say, "Call. It's time to make sure that all the families are around." That is a stage of gesisa. It's not as precisely defined in the Gemara, and the time frame is not precisely defined because it is a case by case basis. Now, how is a person who is close to death regarded in halacha? So they're considered the chay l'kol davar. They're considered living in all regards, which means to say that anything done to expedite their passing is considered murder. So, which leads us to the next and very important question, which is how can somebody in a state of gesisa be treated? So it's very important. One is not allowed to touch or move a person who is in a state of active dying, because anything one does might actually contribute to expediting the process and therefore would be considered shedding blood. It's similar, the Kitzur gives a example. It's like holding a candle which is flickering, that sometimes even just moving it, just walking a step, creates enough wind to make it go out earlier. One example, so let's say there's a pillow beneath a person. One cannot remove the pillow because maybe it's the position which is keeping the person awake as well. He describes an interesting practice that some people used to put the keys of the shul underneath their head as a sort of easy way to leave this world. Even that's not allowed when a person's in a state of gesisa. Is it permitted to remove something that is preventing death? So yes, sometimes there's an external factor which is keeping the person alive, and that may be removed. So for instance, let's say a person is being stimulated by a pounding sound. Let's say there's somebody drilling outside or hammering outside. You are allowed to tell them to stop in order to facilitate that the passing goes smoothly. But that's an external factor as long as the person themselves is not touched. This has interesting applications when it comes to medicine. What should be done if a fire breaks out near a dying person? So they can obviously be removed from the house, even though it requires moving them. But if one leaves them, then it's definite death. So one would be allowed to move them in that case. How should the body be positioned during the final moments? So Kabbalistically, one should try to ensure that the limbs of the person, their legs, their arms, their head, do not leave the bed. This is based on the way that describes that Yaakov Avinu, at the time of his death in Parshas Vayechi, gathered his feet and his body onto the bed. And so in order to do this, people should stand around and try to, if it's possible, even put chairs around the bed to avoid the limbs from extending over the bed. If a limb does extend, it may not be moved because this is part of the state of gesisa. What else is the responsibility of those around? So no one should leave a person who is actively dying. They should not be left alone. And ideally, if it's possible to have a minion of men gathered there to say Tehillim and say the certain Tehillim, the Sefer Ma'avor Yabok describes as he lists 26 different Tehillim that should be appropriate to set at this time. And it's important to also avoid idle chatter. So we're not talking about the weather, we're not talking about planning for a funeral. Those things are not appropriate at this critical time. We now move to the next concept, which itself is death. This is the obviously a very sad topic, and nobody really wants to ever, spend time learning about this, but it is an important thing to be aware of. So is there something, so let's say a person passes away. Is anything one needs to be said right afterwards? The answer is yes. That if one notices the person is passing, which we do not always have the gift of knowing, but if we do know, then when their soul is ascending, it says like at the end of the Yom Kippur service, there is the Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times, Baruch Shem Kuvam Achusel Olam Va'ed, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Those are all said at the end when a person is leaving, as the soul is passing into the next world. Once the soul has left, one says Hashem Nosan V'Hashem Lokach Yehi Shem Hashem Mevarach. God is given, God is taken, may Hashem's name be blessed. And then to say the pasuk Hatzur Pamim Tamim Pa'aloi, Kichol Drocha Bishpat Kelim Inove and Ovel Tzadik Yashar Hu, the rock is perfect in action, all his ways are just, a faithful God, and there is no corruption, he is righteous and upright. So that is giving the credits to Hashem that there is a plan, even though we perhaps are not able to see it right now. How does one ascertain death? So the Kitzurah notes that obviously one has to be careful not to move the body, but one also wants to know if the person is still alive. So the Kitzurah says the way that it was done is they would place a small feather by the nostrils of the person, and if there's movement, it shows they're still breathing. If not, it shows they're dead. Today it's a lot easier because people are oftentimes in hospitals hooked up to machines so you can see the heart rate. So if the person's not in hospital, somebody takes the pulse. So it's very possible to find out in other ways. All our prayers, which are said immediately after death, so all the mourners recite Tziduk Adin, which is a ratification of Hashem's justice, and the full bracha of Diana Emes is recited with the Shema Malchus, and there's a custom to do Kriya. It's interesting that we do those things later, so we don't do Tziduk Adin until the funeral. We don't do the Kriya and the Diana Emes until the funeral. Everybody does it together, and there's many reasons for that. One of the reasons is uniformity, so all the families doing it at the same time. Another reason is that people oftentimes just don't know what to do right, and they're not in a state to figure it out, and they'll just make mistakes. They're not going to do it right, so it's done at a time when it is facilitated by a rabbi. It's facilitated by the Chevra Kaddish, and it's done in an appropriate fire fashion. What are other practices if one is present? So one should be opening up the windows. If it's possible, again, in a hospital, that's not a possibility. One should light a candle. Again, in a hospital with oxygen tanks, that's not possible, but at home one is able to. And one closes the eyes of the person who passed away. Who should close the eyes? So if preferably the son should do this, as we see by Yaakov Avinu, when he was concerned about what's going to happen when he dies, Hashem said to him, Yosef, Yoshis Yado Aleinecho, that Yosef will place his hand over your eyes, which means say you'll take care of even your afterlife requirements. What is done with the body after death? So it's lowered to the floor. Why is it lowered to the floor? Because the Chiper Admos Amoy, if a person's in Israel, the ground is an atonement for the body as well. And it's also because the ground is colder, so it retards the process of biodegradation, and therefore it's greater respect for the body. How should the body be moved to the floor, from the bed to the floor? It needs to be done in a respectful way that the body remains covered. All the customs of modesty that apply to the living apply to the dead as well. They are not just a piece of meat. Their body needs to remain covered in a respectful fashion. What else needs to be done in the room? So all water vessels that are open need to be poured out, and sometimes even in the adjacent houses, even for an infant who died within 30 days, lo aleinu. There's a debate as to whether this is done on Shabbos. The Birkei Yosef suggests that it is even done on Shabbos. Why is this? So the most basic idea is because it's a indirect way of informing others. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch Paskins based on the Pasuk of Mishlei, the Moitzi Deva Huxil, a person who spreads bad news, is considered a fool. One's not supposed to tell everybody that somebody died. It's unfortunately the opposite of our oversharing culture, where everybody wants to be the first person to share the news of death. Where, you know, on this WhatsApp group and on this, it's not appropriate to be doing that. So the way it was done in a sensitive and subtle fashion in the days of old was by pouring out the water, and that was a symbol to other people that somebody had just passed away without having to say those words. Another reason is because there's also ruach ra in the water if it was exposed, and therefore it's poured out as well. Can the deceased be moved on Shabbos? The answer is no. A body is considered a muktzah ma'as kufay, it has no function and therefore cannot be moved on Shabbos, even if the kohanim or for mitzvah purposes. If it is creating great distress to, let's say, the people in the house, and it's a long Shabbos, then one can ask a non-Jew to move it into another room. But there's no requirement, and it should not be done to call a funeral home and to get somebody, the funeral director, to go pick up the body on Shabbos. That's inappropriate and should not be done on Shabbos. What else needs to be done with the body? So a few things. Immediately after passing away, it's important to ensure that the hands should be opened, the mouth and eyes should be closed, the arms should be straight alongside the body, the legs should be straightened, and the body should be covered with a sheet, the face specifically. It's disrespectful to look at the body when after the soul's left, because it changes, and it's just psychologically as well. It's also going to be detrimental to see a person in such a state. If one is at home and is possible, the body should be lowered and the feet should face the door. If one is in the hospital, the bed should be lowered to a flat position in the lowest setting. And one should instruct the nurse not to remove any lines from the body, because in case there's any blood or any bodily fluids which is taken out. Finally, our last concept today is behavior in the niftar. What are the halachas of someone who's guarding the deceased? So even if a guard is not a mourner, he is exempt from Kriyas Shema and Shmoneh Esrei and all other mitzvahs, because we know the halacha is our Eisei B'mitzvah, Potem B'mitzvah. A person who's involved in doing mitzvah, which is being focused by the Niftarsh is potter from other mitzvahs, is exempt from other mitzvahs. What happens if there's two gods? So then the Shomrim can alternate and therefore take turns to daven and to say Kriya Shema. Why do we need a god in the first place? So the Chochmas Adam explains, number one is to protect the body from rodents or bugs, and number two is for Kabbalistic reasons to escort them as well. Is eating permitted in the room where the deceased lies? The answer is no. One is not allowed to eat snacks or even fruit or to drink water in that room unless there's a partition which is made. And one may not even say a bracha in that presence as well. It should go without saying that one should not be talking idle talk nor frivolous matters in the presence of the Niftar. The soul is certainly still present, and a person needs to be very careful, cognizant, and respectful of the person who passes away. With this, we conclude Siman Kuf Tzadi Dalet, and we'll move into the next topic, which is Kriya, in the next day. Have a wonderful and meaningful